It's Great Mondays Radio, a podcast exploring how work is changing in the age of AI. I'm Josh Levine, a transformation executive helping private businesses elevate how their teams operate in an AI-driven world. On the show, I speak with executives, people leaders, and other humans rethinking how decisions get made, how managers lead, and how teams are learning to adapt. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 30 minutes, and I'll tell you how.
If you've read anything I've written lately, there is a lot of conversation going on about how broken the hiring system is, finding jobs, finding the right candidates, all the crazy shit going on. And today we have an expert on, his name is Fletcher Wimbush. He is the CEO of Discovered and the co-author of Hired Talent Team Players. He is rebuilding or has built a new class of ATS, a hiring platform. And I thought it would be really interesting to learn from him, to kind of have him tell us what's going on in the background, why ATSs are broken, what AI is doing to fuck it all up, and how we might be doing, how we might get to it better. This is Great Mondays Radio, where we explore how AI is reshaping the workplace and talk with leaders redesigning how their organizations manage people, make decisions, and adapt to change. Fletcher, thanks for coming on Great Mondays of Radio.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
All right. So I think everybody has a sense of how screwed up the talent role matching, let's say it as a euphemism, environment is these days. I've talked to a lot of folks looking for work who've applied for 50 or 100 jobs. We've gotten advice, but what I haven't understood more deeply, and I've never been, I'm a culture guy at heart, teams and organizations. I've never been in HR. I've never been in hiring. I'd love to know more about ATSs. Let's start with that and how your sort of what was, you know, how you came across and be like, all right, I'm going to do something different. What was wrong? What have you tried to fix in this environment?
Yeah, well, I think it might be a little bit, you know, starting from the beginning, which is how do you find and identify great people? And as a culture guy, I we cross paths. You know, if we're an organization, I'm a leader within my own organization, I'm going to look for people who are more likely to naturally fit into the culture of our organization. So we run with a sense of urgency. We manufacture our own luck for our clients, right? We are students of our business. So I'm going to look for people who are naturally studying, who believe in doing the right thing every single day to create good outcomes, and people who move fast, right? If that would be giving you kind of an example of our core values. And so how do you go about doing that? And it's a forever challenge. And the strategies that an employer should be executing to find people who are highly likely to fit into their culture and then actually validate that those people actually do possess those attributes are really the same things that job seekers should be doing instead of applying to 100 jobs. Or on the flip side, employers are posting jobs through an applicant tracking system. They become inundated with resumes.
Exactly.
So a lot of job posts will get 1 to 500 applicants in a month. So if you're an applicant, so look at it from both sides. So if I'm an employer, I don't have an army of recruiters or hiring managers or anybody equipped to screen 500 resumes in a month. So if you're an applicant and you're mass applying to jobs, well, you're just throwing your hat in the ring on, you know, becoming 1 out of 100 or 1 out of 500 applicants, and you're expecting that employer to look at your resume. Like, that's an unfair expectation for you as a candidate to expect the employer to do that. And the employer, you know, isn't going to put those kinds of human resources behind it to do that type of activity. So as much as we're platinum partners with Indeed, LinkedIn, ZipRecruiter, and we work with all the major job boards, and a core function of ATS is to help you market your jobs across multi-channels and collect as many candidates as possible. It's also about helping you identify very, very quickly which ones of those candidates are actually very, very strong fits. And
well, you got to start with screening out which ones are bots, or, you know, just like, I know I talked to someone who created their own little agent that just applied to 500, you know, it's like, hey, apply to these jobs. And I don't know about you, but like the jobs that I get served are, at least on LinkedIn, you know, are so inaccurate. I'm like, what? How does this doesn't even match a keyword that I put out there?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you're getting served up on LinkedIn, and Indeed is sending you jobs or saying, hey, I think you might like this job or be a fit for that job. And it's a very nuanced problem. It's a garbage in, garbage out problem. So from an employer perspective, unfortunately, most employers aren't going through the exercise of doing a job analysis, number one, which is step one in this. Now, if you do a thorough job analysis, so we create templates, like here's like a list of questions to ask yourself before you write a job description. But if you actually do a job analysis and you do that, then AI is actually really good at doing the rest. Mm-hmm. But everybody skips that step.
Yeah.
So they just say, write me a job description for a salesperson. That's right.
Well, that's what, you know, it's like someone has, you know, the business unit leader, hey, we have, write me a job description for this, right?
Yeah.
Like, I need a thing. And they've been sitting on it for a week and they're like, oh crap, we're behind. Can you just write, I just need someone for this thing. So they go right to job description. All right. So what's a job analysis? Is this, I've heard those two words separately, but I've never heard them, you know, with a, like a trademark above them. Is this something that like you learn in HR school? Is job analysis a
I
thing?
I wish.
Is this something that's been done, or like what is it?
No, this is rooted in core IO, you know, industrial occupational psychology and in HR. And I think it is a very boring subject, right? To say, hey, before you go hire, you know, think about what good looks like. How are you going to know when you hire Josh, he's doing a phenomenal job in clear, measurable, time-bound, environmentally bound terms? And I borrow a lot of this from Lou Adler, who will be doing training sessions next week. So that's another good one. If you want to reach out, we're doing two experimental. Lou Adler's been doing this for 40 years. So two free, you can pay $500 normally, but I'll be co-hosting with him to put on some training sessions in the middle of June. You should reach out to me if you're interested. But I learned it all from him, but I've been practicing it over the last 13 years and just working with companies to get really clear about what good looks like in clear and measurable terms. And usually in the past, they would go to the job boards and they would look up a salesperson from a competitor and they would just steal that job description. And that's not even a job description, probably. It's more like a job advertisement, whatever you see on the job board.
Yeah.
That should not be a job description. That should be a job advertisement, first of all. People often will put a job description up there. But they'll steal that from their competitor and then they'll maybe tweak a few lines and be like, call it done. So that is the old version of job posting slop.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
The new version is I just go to, you know, Claude or ChatGPT and say, write me this for this account executive role I've got or this project engineer job I've got. And, you know, it looks pretty good. So, all right, ship it to, you know, HR and have them post it and hope for the best. And if you just stopped and maybe took like 15 minutes, I mean, this is not an incredible amount of time.
Yeah.
And really thought through how in a year, and this is a great Adler one. I mean, you've got to read his book and whatever. I mean, I've got a lot of influencers and he's one of my favorites, but, and since I'm hanging out with him a lot here recently, I'm revisiting a lot of this stuff, but what in a year from now, and Josh and I are looking at each other saying, are we popping champagne, drinking beer, celebrating our year together, or are we like wanting to kill each other? you know?
Yeah.
Can you describe that in clear and measurable terms, right? If you just stop and do that, and then that will produce a significantly better, more accurate job description. And from there, you can create a much, much better ideal candidate profile. And if you're on a candidate side of this, you're doing the same thing. What am I really good at? What are my most significant accomplishments? What can I apply my skills to where I'm most likely to be extraordinarily successful? And because I have a track record of being successful in those things, and then go after those jobs and then go to the hiring manager and say, hey, I was a director of marketing for a, you know, a B2C products company, and I created campaigns that doubled our sales.
Right.
And if you can, if I were the CMO of that company and you came to me and you just said that, and maybe like polish it a little bit with some specific keywords that I would be like, wow, this person really knows my world, right? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't even need to send me a resume. I'd be like, okay, when can we talk?
Right.
Type of thing.
But we operate, I mean, it's a resume based world, and I've, you know, I've railed against resumes for a while now, but are you saying that your vision is like you have a vision for getting beyond the resume?
Well, yes. If I'm a job seeker, I wrote a book on how to get a job during COVID because 50 million people lost their jobs. And I am an employer centric guy out there. So everybody can go shoot me. I'm like a candidate's worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. You know, people come to me all the time. Hey, Fletcher, I got a friend who needs a job, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes I'll make some time and share a little bit of, you know, some ideas with them. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but I don't get paid to help you get a job. I don't. That's not my business, right? But then when I saw 50 million people lose their jobs, I mean, my heart was truly broken for what was happening in the world here. And I do have some empathy for other individuals as much as I am irritated by that, those requests. So I literally wrote a book on this and I said, and I give it away for free. And then we donate a bunch of money to workforce development programs. And I said, if you're a job seeker, here's all the tips and tricks. And I get nothing out of this. Like, I have no monetary interest in helping you get a job. I get zero out of it other than just here. Like, I get asked this question a million times, and here is actually like what you need to do, unfiltered, unbiased, because I got no dog in this fight. Like, here is the answer to your problem. So the, you know, the things we just talked about right there are coming from that. Like, you just want to know the truth. Like, that's what you got to do.
Yeah. So my question is, we'll go back to the question about the resumes. I mean, when you're looking at the world and you're saying, you know, I don't think the resumes do a good job. You just pitched me a one sentence thing that you think would anchor, would get someone to be like, yeah, for sure. I think, you know, I'm just wondering what is it? How should an employer ask for this information if it's not a resume? And maybe you don't have a good idea, which is totally fine too.
No. So it's the same way. I mean, look, yes, resumes have a function and they're going to be part of this equation probably for a long time to come and forever. So again, I write your resume the same way I'm suggesting you write the job description based on your clear, measurable outcomes, right? And I don't see that in most resumes, frankly. It's, I did this, I filled up the coffee, I opened the doors every day, I, you know, use all these like big, you know, corporate speak words to do my job. What impact did you make, Josh?
Yeah.
You know,
what? I'm sorry. okay. So, but,
and why is it relevant to the job that I'm hiring for? And if you do those two things, the AI can be 100% perfect in matching you every single time.
But I think one of the things that I struggle with understanding, and you started us off with this, which is, and I've heard you said a 500 in a month. I've heard more and more, if you don't apply within 24 hours, that job is closed. And then they got to review the people then. So to me, when you're saying analyze the role, evaluate the role, and then you can write it up, you're still going to get, in this market, 500 employees applying. I'm still going to get buried. My resume, I believe, disabuse me of this notion, poke holes. But I believe, even if I'm writing it in the Fletcher Wimbush style of results, impact-oriented, speaking to you, I'm still not getting, like, the odds of me getting someone, like you said, a human to read that resume is really small.
Well, that's
No?
why it goes to targeting. Again, I mean, our platform AI is very, very good. It's like 88% accurate in terms of picking categorizing candidates. It's 98.5% accurate in determining somebody who should not be considered.
So it sorts
Four.
right up front, right up front. It sorts and then
Yeah, right up
delivers
sort of
to.
and ranks the candidates, right? So I wouldn't be worried about tailoring your resume to every single job description. First of all, that's a waste of your time. And it's also, you're going to run into a brick wall if you're lying about what you've done, first of all. So like at some point you're
People
going to
are
get
doing
caught.
it. Well, yeah, and but there are people that there's a couple stories that I've retold about people that got through because, you know, whatever it was. Yeah, they got caught, but they also got a job because of it, right? I
Sure.
mean, I'm not doing it. I'm not,
And
but
I've heard a lot of employers that get up in that, they end up in that situation. They hire somebody and they're like, this person cheated their way
yeah.
through the entire process. But they did that because their process is weak, right? So they don't have a great, strong vetting process. So, we're recommending screener questions.
Yeah.
So you click apply and how well screener questions are written. Screener questions should be written in a way that the other person reading them should be able to find the answer within the set of responses, structured responses that best resembles them. So I'll give you a dumb example. Do you have a valid driver's license, Josh?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. Okay. But if you had a DUI 1 year ago, would you still have a valid driver's license? Yes, you would. I'll give you a hint on that.
I don't
Yeah,
know.
you most likely would. You
Yeah.
most likely would still have a valid driver's license. If
Okay.
this job required you to drive a commercial vehicle or just drive often because you're a
Yep.
salesperson, you're out in the field, you are not eligible to work for most companies in that scenario because their insurance company is not going to let
Right.
them hire you
Right,
to
right,
insure you.
right, right.
So that's the wrong. If I ask that in a yes or no format, you're going to say, yeah, I have a valid driver's license.
Right. But that's not vetting. But your point is it's not vetting the real question.
The real question, which is, how many points do you have on your record? And do you have any DUIs within the last 3 years?
Yeah.
Right. And so the real response should have been like, I have 0 points. I
Yeah.
have no
No
DUIs,
infractions,
no infractions,
no
no
moving
accidents, no
violations,
moving
no,
violations,
yeah,
right?
exactly.
Or I have 1 point, on my record,
Yeah.
or I have more than 1 point on my record,
Are
or,
these screening questions? So I don't usually ask. I feel like it's valid. I don't usually ask about my guest's product, but I feel like this is relevant. On your platform, where is AI showing up at the beginning of the process?
Yeah,
Because
so
that's been a gripe, but my caveat or my opinion that I've developed after listening to a bunch of people is it's not quite good enough, and it is annoying, but I feel like it's not the problem, but it is a problem. I don't know, like something in there, if you catch my drift.
well, the problem comes back to human laziness at the end of the day. Like I talked about in the beginning, like no hiring manager takes 15 minutes to do a job analysis, right? So, then they do these lazy shortcuts, like go and have their job description rewritten by AI, right? And same
Yeah.
thing with the job seekers. They're, don't take the time to really clearly articulate the things that they've done well, and they go have AI
Yeah.
sort of bang it to fit to every job ad, or and then they
Yeah.
auto
Yeah.
mass apply. So they're crimes on both sides,
Of
right?
course, of course.
Historically. So I'm not here to necessarily be, to overly endorse AI in it one way or the other, but screener questions, well-crafted AI does a phenomenal job of craft. Like take that question that I had given you before. I would say most people would use that question if they were looking to sort somebody out with a driver's license. That's a poorly worded question that sort of gets you into a trap that doesn't really lead you or the candidate down the right path and waste
Yeah.
both of your times, right?
Yeah.
AI is really phenomenal at taking that question and transforming it into a better, well-written question that I, as a human, was too lazy to do myself. I couldn't have thought how to be more think about, have more empathy for the reader to reposition that question into four possible answers that would let them embody themselves or describe themselves more accurately, and then allow me to then filter them in a structured way. Mm-hmm. So that's where AI becomes very helpful there. Number two is, it's really helpful once you do the job analysis in creating significantly better job description, performance-based job descriptions, and significantly better advertising content, right? Again, these are things that humans will mail it in on. They will half-ass every day, all day. And if you take that one human step, it cascades down into a better job description, a better job advertisement, better social media content, better employee referral content. And it's just all easy after you take that 15 minutes there. And then AI resume screening. I mean, at the end of the day, your resume is being screened either by an old robot or a new robot.
That is a great way to put it. Yep.
And the new robots are way better than the old robots.
Where in the process do humans on your, in your platform, do humans show up, right? Where is it, if I'm thinking about myself as the applicant, right? So job descriptions listed. I apply, send in whatever requirements that job description asks of me. It's into your, it's into Discovered. And there's what I've intuited here is there's an AI filter, and then there's screener questions. Is where, take me through the process, and where does the human show up for the first time in the process from
employer side? If it's dialed in correctly, then, I mean, in a very niche job, then that candidate should be filtered straight to a job interview.
Mm.
So let's just take, I'm working with a structural engineering firm. That is a very niche job. They're in Southern California.
And there's certifications, so you can say yes, no, right?
It's so easy.
Do you have a driver's license? Do you have a certification?
And if you're a structural engineer and you don't put that on your resume, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
They always put it on their resume. Right. So, and those guys get so much nonsense. 99% of applicants are totally irrelevant for them.
Yeah. And it's easy to sort through.
So in a case like that, I can take from maybe a few screener questions, grab your resume, and I can say confidently put you on the hiring manager's schedule right then and there from the moment you apply.
Okay.
And that is a phenomenal experience for everybody involved.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
When you're talking about high volume, say like a customer service or a sales job where the parameters are a little fuzzier, right? Like
I'm thinking product manager or project manager is kind of a little bit.
That's a brutal, project manager is a better example because there are project managers in so many, project managers in construction, there's project managers in engineering, there's project managers in software development, there's project managers in
That's
telecom.
I'm telling you, that's the LinkedIn notifications. Oh, you said something about this and you're like, that has nothing to do with it. Right? So it's
I manage projects. Exactly. I'm a project manager in my
So what do you do? Right? So it's like, those are the hard ones where, and I feel like more and more the job is changing so much. It's so ill-defined and someone could be coming in. Here's one gripe that I'll throw at you. Well, I didn't, quote unquote, from somebody that I was talking to, like they didn't fit the profile exactly, but they definitely have kind of a nonlinear career and they have credentials but they don't quite match it. Right. Like, and I have, maybe in the last 6 months, it's gotten better, but the point that they were making when they were talking to me, it's like the AI isn't good enough to go, oh, actually this person is well qualified, just not in the way that you were thinking about it.
Yeah, well, I don't know the employers think about it that way either. So, you know, if I'm a hiring manager and you have a non-traditional path and I put up a job description and I say, you need to be a project manager. You know, so here's a good one. We do a lot of work in construction. So, and these guys are, say, a commercial construction company building civil construction projects. Right. So you apply, you've been a project manager for a residential home building construction company, and you apply to my commercial civil construction company,
yeah,
you're not qualified.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You could do the job, but if I'm an employer and I'm out seeking someone with direct experience in managing civil construction projects, you, Josh, you might be amazing and maybe I should give you a chance, but that's not the criteria. So you will not be judged against that criteria.
Right. So I guess that's the question that I'm thinking about now is that you're helping me think through is like, how do you define the criteria in such a way that it screens out nonsense, but includes the right kind of people that could outperform the traditional people, maybe?
Okay. So let's talk about that for a second. So I spent my whole career helping people with that problem. I started my career finding, looking for people who where the background was fuzzy,
yeah,
right? Where like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, are yeah. you motivated? Are you smart? And do you have good integrity?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where does that say, where can I find that on your resume? Cause I can't believe anything. Well, first of all, I can't believe anything I say on any resume because 85% of resumes people have embellishments or outright lies on them.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. it's not entirely their fault. So you should not totally. Now, if it's like some egregious lie, I went to Stanford and I graduated with an MBA.
No.
I mean, that's like real.
We are talking about, let's just call it
embellishments.
Strong embellishments. Yep.
Yeah. Strong, you know, or weak embellishments even like, the dates are fudged a little bit or my, you know, but that's a strong embellishment, but maybe some of my experiences, I'm really strong at Excel.
Yeah.
I'm actually not that strong at Excel. So
yeah.
I'm a very mediocre Excel guy, right? You know, my ex-wife was phenomenal Excel. So, you know, compared to her, I'm nobody.
It's like, yeah. How do you assess? I mean, you're saying the resumes are like mostly lies and you've got these like criteria and it's like,
so
yeah, go for
that's
it.
Where we leverage assessment. So I came from the assessment background and integrity testing is number one. Cognitive ability, which is IQ or smarts, right? And behavioral attributes that look at things that what motivates other people and matching those to the job. So those become the next filter. So a lot of jobs go from maybe screener questions to collecting a resume to, you know, the AI cannot do a great matching job in those types of scenarios typically. And to, hey, Josh, I have an assessment for you to complete that is looking at those integrity, attitude, behavioral attributes, your motivators, and your cognitive and EQ and IQ skills, right? So then we're going straight to those things. And that sucks. It's a terrible candidate experience, but I got 500 applicants. What else am I going to do, right?
Yeah.
And as an applicant, if you're willing to take the time to do that, and you actually are high integrity, high intelligence, and have the right motivations to be doing these jobs, then you're on my calendar tomorrow.
So essentially, the taking the test is as much of a barrier to entry, a purposeful barrier to entry, as actually answering the questions correctly.
Especially when we're talking about inbound job board applicants like that, right?
So you're throwing up things that only that you posit only a human can do. And the last part of this, the kind of the early application process, is this AI interviewer that I've seen and the AI cheater, where there's something on the screen or something over here, right?
Yeah.
That people can use to cheat through what you would say is your assessment. Now, before you comment on that, your assessment, I assume, is just, it's a software. Thank you so much for answering the screener questions. Now we have an assessment. I'm going to send it to you. Set aside 30 minutes to fill it out.
Yeah. Traditional, you know, multiple choice, agree, disagree, you know, type of assessment, behavioral.
All right. So
and
I'm using AI.
Basis.
Can't I use AI to answer that the best I can, or are there not correct answers?
When you're talking about behavioral assessments, there are no such thing as correct answers, right?
Right,
I mean, it's
right,
only
right.
what embodies you, right? At the end of the day. And look, so then the candidate gets to the next level. I've seen them on, we offer one-way video interviews or asynchronous video interviewing now, AI interviewing as well, right? And all those tools. And those are another tool, another way of assessing, you know, pre-game and, you know, can I get you through? And then that filters some people out and I have a chance to like see you and listen to you and, you know, evaluate you before I decide to take you to the next step. Those do get used in this process sometimes. I'm a bigger fan of an assessment test because it's way more structured, right? So assessments are validated, they're structured, they have very intentionality, they tie back to very specific things than any kind of interview that even an AI or a human has to look at to evaluate the person on. I'm a much bigger fan of that. Assessing integrity and attitude is not something most people can do in an interview or from watching you answer some questions on a screen. And yeah, so candidates are cheating across all these places. We've seen it. We know it happens. Each barrier though takes you, we check one more box. Yeah, the candidate's going to then come to hopefully what's a very strong structured interview. And if you've cheated your way through up until that point, okay, good for you. But if we're actually following best practices in structured interviews and using a candidate scorecard and being very diligent in assessing you, so me interviewing you and assessing you based on your answers, because I'm using a structured process for interviewing you and a structured set of criteria to evaluate you against, then, and this is the hard part because most hiring managers are not taught how to do this and are not very good at assessing other human beings. But if they actually spend the time to practice these things, they can do it. Then I have a pretty darn good chance of snuffing you out, right? And that would have been a waste of my time. But that's part of the game now.
Yeah.
And the last piece is references. And references is a dead technique. People just don't do it anymore, and they're misguided for not leaning into references. Like when you travel, Josh, you travel all the time, right? You know, when you go to a new city, either your host recommends a restaurant, right? Or you go on Yelp and you'll be like, where's the best restaurant near me? You know, kind of thing, right?
That's a reference.
It's a reference, right? And you don't go to the 3-star restaurant. You go, well, I'll probably go to the 4.5-star one, I think, you know. I only got one shot at this when I'm in San Jose, right? You know?
Yeah. Okay, so the last, so we'll wrap this up shortly. The last thing I want to get into with you and what I'm building on here is when one of the kind of patterns that I observed and sort of developed an opinion about is, and this kind of goes what you've described, and this kind of goes to the frustration with the I've been interviewed 5 times. Now, we're not talking about interviewing 5 times, but we are talking about multiple touch points. And what I perceive, now, your process certainly sounds effective, and it sort of escalates the how human are you question every time.
Yeah.
And the candidates are developing countermeasures. And I wonder if the, you know, it's like, how do you continue to, if the ecosystem, right? If the providers are going to continue to use AI to create more of these barriers that people then apply for, it to me feels like it's only a mutually assured destruction, right? It's like, I'm going to add more AI and you're going to add more AI. And ultimately the onus, and this is, I'm going a little bit further out into my sort of editorial content here, but what happens is that the onus is on the applicants because the employer doesn't have a need to take on any responsibility, right? So you could bring people, and not for your system, right? But you could bring people back and back and back and back because they're willing to show up and they'll show up with a smile. But in fact, that time and energy that they're putting into that, right, doesn't pay off for 99% of the applicants. And so my point being is that this system that's being developed is less and less, I don't know if I would say less efficient, but like there's more and more onus put on the human candidate, and they're going to use tools to try to get past to the next thing. And no wonder people are doing creating their own AI bots to apply for things, because maybe one of those things will get through.
Well, it goes back to what I first said, and I tell this to hiring. So there's three ways to find people. One, you can post a job and people apply. Number two, you can use employee referral programs and have a culture of employee referrals. 87% of hires made through a referral turn out to be good to phenomenal. So that's statistically the best way to hire people. That's also statistically the best way to get a job. Josh, who do you know that, that might be able to find a good home for you when next time you're looking for a job? Not that you're probably looking for a job very often, but, and then number three is go be like your own headhunter, like literally dissect the talent pool, the available market out there, identify your ideal candidates, go get referrals to them, or go directly knock on their door and ask them to begin engage in a conversation. And then we do continue to use all sorts of tools like assessments and structured interviews and candidate scorecards and powerful reference checking. You don't, just because someone's a referral, just because I went knocking on your door, doesn't mean I don't vet you, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that is human based. So, I think the problem remains in this idea of this world of like, oh, just because I applied for a job, I deserve attention. Employers should not be leaning on internal job applicants. Now, there are certain environments where they do need to. There's just volume hiring scenarios out there where, these things are going to occur. But you still have to have the human component of it, and the human has to be good at evaluating candidates. And if a candidate can cheat their way through screener questions, their resume, an assessment test, an asynchronous video interview, a human to human, a good human to human interview, a one done effectively, which is the hard part. And this is why you should all come to the Adler training that we're doing for free. Normally pay $500 a head for here in a couple of weeks. And have good, meaningful references from credible people. And as me as an employer, go and speak to those people. If you can cheat your way through all of those things, I can't wait for you to show up on Monday. You are a smart motherfucker.
Yeah.
And I want you on my team.
Yeah. Anyways, because you're so smart. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the unresolved thing that nobody really knows is kind of where this is all evolving. And it just feels to me, it feels unsettled. I'm so pleased to meet you and, someone who is rethinking what an ATS is for and how to do it. I think that's great, right? Old machines versus new machines. But the fundamental question still lies in how do we create a better system that matches people with, that you can find? You can, and my, here's the last, one of the other pieces that I wrote was like, why did LinkedIn was supposed to do this? And yes, sometimes you'll get kind of a pitch from somebody and that is more plausible than before LinkedIn, but LinkedIn did not solve this problem, which sucks, right? I was promised flying cars and jetpacks and it's like a seamless job hiring experience. And I'm still writing out and sending off, PDFs, right? Like, and it's like, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah, there, nothing has changed in the hiring game in hundreds of years, frankly. But what has changed is the technology that accelerates all of the activities around doing it correctly.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of things that do help, but there is a constant battle against the, overly embellished lying candidate, and the employer was overwhelmed with trying to identify the ideal person. And when both parties are doing it in good faith, good things happen. Again, if I'm a candidate and I'm trying to BS my way just because I want a job, I just, that doesn't really work out in the end. That person doesn't end up being a good, happy hire.
So, I think this is where we'll end it, which is my biggest observation here is you can no longer wing it.
Yeah.
As a candidate or as an employer, you have to be, because things are so messy out there, like, you need a career coach, right? You need someone to be able to like understand what you need. It doesn't even have to be someone you pay. You need a peer to be able to look over. You need references. You need to go in. I have a colleague, I've mentioned her a couple times, on the podcast who recently just got a job, but she was out applying for work for 2 years. She was kind of running some consulting stuff on the side, but she would only apply to jobs where she had a personal reference at the company.
Yeah.
And I thought that is so extreme, I was like, oh shit, that is the kind of level of, you know, kind of detail that we need people to take that as employees, just in this kind of market to differentiate yourself, you need to be deliberate. It needs to be, and to your point, someone that you have to be willing to kind of go forward and
call all your college buddies and all your old coworkers and take them out to dinner and, you know, ask them what kind of opportunities you got coming up and ask them for a referral, right? That's more work than most people are willing to put in. And so, yeah, they're going to be relegated to putting their embellished resume on the pile with a bunch of others.
Not that it means that you're gonna guaranteed to get the job, but you're more likely to do it. Yeah, Fletcher Wimbush, CEO of Discovered. You can learn more about his platform, a new class of ATS, but don't tell him I told you to call it an ATS. It's a hiring platform at discovered.ai. He's the co-author of Hiring Talented Team Players. Really appreciate you coming on Great Mondays Radio, Fletcher. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest on our program, head over to radio.greatmondays.com and fill in the application. Have a friend you think would find this episode interesting? Send it to them. And while you're at it, rate and review. It really helps. I'd love to connect. Send me an email, josh@greatmondays.com. And if you're interested in learning more about how I help private businesses elevate how teams operate in an AI-driven world, check out greatmondays.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.